Our text for the sermon this Lord's Day is taken from Galatians 5:22 and Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, as we continue our study of the fruit of faithfulness. We read in Galatians 5:22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith." And in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth." What happens when children raised within a household of faith refuse to obey their parents? Reject the Lord and rather walk down a path that pleases them rather than pleases the Lord. Well, we have various examples of such children raised within Christian families or households of faith that have been given to us. Examples that have been given to us by the Lord so that we might learn from these examples to walk contrary to how they lived and how they disobeyed their parents and the Lord, and who rejected the counsel that their parents gave unto them. A couple notable ones are these. First of all, Hophni and Phinehas, the sons of Eli the priest, who were slain by the Philistines for their disobedience. Now, as we learned in previous sermons, Eli did not restrain his children, and God faulted him for that. But nevertheless, God judged these children of Eli, these sons of Eli, because he did counsel them correctly. He didn't restrain them, but he counseled them correctly. And they chose to disobey and walk contrary to the admonition of their father. There's also Absalom. Absalom, the son of King David, who sought to overthrow his own father from the throne, and who was henceforth speared to death for his disobedience. Again, David was not a perfect father. He did not set at all times a godly example before his children. But who among us does? His was particularly culpable because of the knowledge he had of the Lord, and as a result, God did bring his discipline into David's life. But Absalom, again, being raised in the household of faith, was responsible. He rejected, he turned against the counsel and the wisdom, the instruction of his father. And we see the consequence that befell him. And I speak to you children. Listen closely. Children, listen closely. All of you, speaking to you. In the text that is before us this Lord's Day, there is something God is saying to you in particular. And I want you to know that according to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus says the kingdom of God belongs to you. For such of such is the kingdom of God, the Lord Jesus says, in Mark chapter 10, verse 14, "Even with small infants that he held in his arms, of such is the kingdom of God." Children, the Lord has called you to himself in the promises that he has made in your baptism. He has called you to himself in the gospel. And as I preach today, the Lord Jesus is calling you unto himself in these promises of the gospel. And for that reason, it simply follows that as Paul in Ephesians is addressing various members of the family that are a part of the church, members of the church, he includes husbands, he includes wives, he includes fathers and mothers, that is parents, and he includes children as a class of members within the visible church as well. You are addressed here. You are addressed by God through the Holy Spirit. Your children, it is not simply your parents that are called to faithfulness within the family and within the church. You as well are called to faithfulness by the Apostle Paul through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He writes to you. God writes to you. Now that's an amazing thing. God is speaking to you even now. Children, listen carefully to what the Lord says to you today. And I'm not limiting the age. If you can understand what I'm saying, God is certainly speaking to you. Take notes if you can. God is speaking to you as well as to your parents this Lord's Day. Last Lord's Day, we considered the faithfulness of a child to God. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. This Lord's Day, we considered the faithfulness of a child to his or her parents. And I would like to ask and answer the following two questions in regard to the faithfulness of a child within the family from our text this Lord's Day. First question is this: what is a child's duty? If a child is to be faithful to his or her parents within the family, what is his or her duty? Second question: why is a child to obey? Why is a child to obey? So let us look at these two questions this Lord's Day, praying that the Lord would speak to the children, but that the Lord would speak to all of our hearts. All of our hearts this Lord's Day through his word. So the first question: what is a child's duty? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Ephesians 6, verse 1. A child's duty of faithfulness within the home is summarized in this commandment: children, obey your parents in the Lord. To obey means that you listen to your parents. It means that you do what they tell you to do. And you do it with a willing heart. Simply going about doing what your parents tell you to do, but not having a willing heart about what you are to do. Not having even a cheerful heart in obeying your parents is not the type of obedience that God here in commands. We're not to serve God that way. We're not to serve our parents that way. We're not to serve anyone who has lawful authority over us in that way. We are to be willing to serve those who have lawful authority over us. We're to obey from willing hearts. You see, to obey, children, means to recognize that God has placed your parents within the home. He has placed them over you to love you. He's placed them over you to correct you and to train you in the right ways of the Lord. For example, children, if you're told to take out the trash, if you're told to clean up your room, pick up your room and clean it up, if you're told to go to bed at a particular time, obedience means not only listening with the outward ear, I hear you, but to do quickly and willingly what you are told to do. Quickly and willingly. Not when you feel like doing it, or when you finally get around to doing it, but when you are told to do it. That's obedience. Let me give to you, dear children, and again, I include within children not simply those who are 5 years old or 10 years old, but those who are 15, 20, 25, 30. If you are living at home, if you're not married, if you are yet single, you're under your parents' roof, this applies. This applies to children, as we'll see, not by way of qualification of age, but by way of those who are born into a household of faith. It applies to you. So, how are you to obey your parents, children? Well, first of all, obey so as to please the Lord, first and foremost. Obey so as to please the Lord. So you see, your obedience here is said to be in the Lord. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. You should want to please your parents so as to make their job a joy to them, to be a parent, not to be a drudgery, not to be a burden to be a parent, but to make their job, and especially as you grow older, to make your parents' job a joy, a delight to have you as a child within the home. That should be our desire as children, growing up within the home. But most importantly, you should want to please the Lord out of a heart filled with love to Jesus. A heart filled with love to Jesus for all that he has freely given to you. I ask you, dear children, do you trust in Jesus Christ alone for your eternal salvation? Do you trust in him to be your Savior? Have you come to him to ask him to forgive you of your sins, to cling to him in his righteousness, realizing you don't have a righteousness that you can give to Jesus in order to be right before him? You need his righteousness. Have you come to him? Do you love the Lord, and do you want to obey him because you do love him? Is your obedience motivated because you love the Lord? Is it a result of your love for God? An evidence of your love for God? Your obedience to your parents? You see, you demonstrate your love for the Lord by the way you obey your parents. That's how you show your love for the Lord. That's one way you show your love for the Lord, children, is by your obedience to your parents. Another way in which we are to obey our parents, obey with a respectful attitude. Obey with a respectful attitude. Don't slam doors or stomp out of the room when you don't get what you want. Don't begin going into some type of a fit, either by way of anger or tears because you don't get what you want. Don't speak in a sarcastic, disrespectful manner to your parents. They are there in the place of God. They stand in God's stead. That's a heavy responsibility. It's not just an issue of exercising authority and telling a child, do this and do that. Many times children only view it from that perspective. But this is a heavy responsibility to stand in the place of God within the home. Remember, all authority in the home is placed in the hands of your parents by God Himself. And to disrespect your parents by your attitudes, by your words, by your gestures or behavior is to show disrespect for the living God whom your parents represent. Thirdly, obey from a willing heart. Obey from a willing heart. Don't just obey outwardly, but ask the Lord, dear children, ask God to give you a real desire to be obedient. You see, that is the fruit of faithfulness manifested in our lives, that we have a willingness to obey. We want to obey, and though we find it difficult at times to obey, in our heart of hearts, we truly want to obey. And though there may be, again, this battle that goes on within us, pray and ask the Lord to overcome within your heart that rebellion, that you might willingly obey your parents. Don't be like the child that was told by his father to come and sit beside him. And the child refused to do so. The parent wanted to discuss something that the child had done by way of disobedience, but the child just stood and would not come and sit down by his father. Eventually, the father had to discipline the child. But the child said to his father, "I may be sitting down on the outside, but I'm standing up on the inside." You see, that's not a willing heart. A willing heart says, "I want to sit down," and says that on the inside, and also does it on the outside. Likewise, dear children, to grumble and to complain about what you have been asked to do, even though you may eventually do it, but to go through all of this complaining and protesting about not wanting to do this and taking as long as you possibly can to get it done is, again, not evidencing a willing heart. Yeah. Don't have the attitude, "Well, if I have to do it, I will, but I sure don't like having to do it. I'm not even going to try to like it." You see, God loves a cheerful giver. And also, we might say, God loves cheerful obedience as well, willing obedience, regardless of our age. God loves willing obedience in our hearts. And lastly, by way of how we're to obey, obey immediately, children. Don't wait until you forget what you were told to do. Don't wait until you are distracted by something that comes up before you, in your room, outside, in your mind, because there will be all kinds of distractions that will keep you from obeying your parents. Just as there will be distractions that come in our lives and will keep us from obeying the Lord Himself if we allow those distractions to overwhelm us. We must always keep before us, my obedience to the Lord is not something I wait to do at the end of the day. My obedience to the Lord is not something I wait to do until the Sabbath, the Lord's Day. My obedience to the Lord is to be done quickly. Quickly, right now. Dear children, to wait until you are threatened with discipline is not the obedience in which God delights. When you pray, as we are taught to pray in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." Do you know what you're asking? Your children, do you know what you're asking? You are asking God to give you the grace to obey God as quickly as the angels do in heaven. To obey Him as quickly as the angels do in heaven. Do you think the angels in heaven have to be told a second or a third or a fourth time to obey the Lord? No, of course not. God delights in your immediate, your quick obedience from a willing heart. Now, some of you children might be saying to yourselves at this point, "It's not easy. It's not easy to obey parents as God commands." And you are absolutely right. It is not easy. In fact, I would say it's not only not easy, it is impossible for you to obey your parents as God commands in your own strength. The only perfect child that ever was born was the Lord Jesus Christ. And He never sinned in His thoughts or His words or His deeds. Obedience to your parents is hard because you are by nature sinners, just as we all are by nature sinners. We want to do what we want to do because we want to do it. Simple as that. And because we don't want by nature to do what God wants us to do, by nature we don't want to do what our parents tell us to do, that we get ourselves into all types of trouble as a result. When your parents tell you to stop touching, for example, those items in the store, when you go with your parents to the store and you begin touching things on the shelves, you pick up that toy, even though your parents said, "Don't touch anything in the store." You see, when you hold it in your hand, you're really acting just like Eve did in the Garden of Eden. When Eve was told by God not to take and to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And when she did, she sinned, and she even gave to her husband, and he did eat. And we know the consequence of that for us all. Posterity, all the posterity by natural generation have fallen into sin as a result of simply taking something, as it were, off the shelf. Something that simple led all mankind into sin and death. Don't eat. Don't take and eat. And so obedience at any level is important, dear children. Dear children, listen. The very first reason God has given His commandments to us, commandments like "children, obey your parents," is to show us that we are sinners. And that we need Jesus Christ to save us from our sins. This is what the gospel declares to us. This is what our baptism declares to us. We need a Savior. We cannot save ourselves. Only Jesus Christ can save us. For without Christ, we will all bear the eternal punishment of our disobedience against God and against His good and righteous commandments. It's not the commandments that are at fault. God's commandments are good, holy, right, just, spiritual. God's commandments are of that nature. The problem is with us. The problem is God's good commandments reveal our sin, that we don't want to obey God. But you see, God has given us His commandments for that reason. to show us our need of a Savior. To show you, dear children, your need of a Savior. Even in obeying your parents and the struggle you have, that should tell you, I need a Savior. Because this isn't easy. I don't want to do this. I don't want to obey. That should tell you, you need a Savior. And only Jesus can save you. Only Jesus can make you acceptable before God. Dear children, come to God. Come to God with an empty hand or with empty hands. Come to Him, not with your hands filled with your own self-righteousness, not filled with your presenting to God how good you are. Come with an empty hand that He can fill with His righteousness as you come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Take Christ in His perfect obedience. His obedience is perfect, not yours. Jesus' obedience is what you need. His righteousness is what you need. Come and receive it. It's offered as a free gift. We can't earn it. We can't work for it. We simply receive it as a free gift, dear children. God will, according to His promise, as you reach out and receive that gift that is offered to you in the gospel, He will hear. He will answer. He will give to you, dear children, His righteousness, His salvation, His goodness, everlasting life forevermore. And He will give you that holy desire in your heart to want to obey your parents, which is the fruit of faithfulness. But also, God not only gives you His holy commandments, like children, obey your parents, so as to show you your need of Christ, but He also gives you these commandments, all of His commandments, but in particular, dear children, obey your parents. He gives you that commandment to reveal to you how you show your faith and your love for Jesus Christ. You show your faith in Christ, you show your love for Christ by your willingness to obey Him. Faith without works is dead, so we're told by James. And this is an obedience that is filled with gratitude. It ought to be filled with gratitude, ought to be filled with thanksgiving to God for all that He has done for us. And you see, that's what makes our obedience easier. When our heart is filled with thankfulness to what God, for what God has given to us, you see, that helps our obedience become much, much easier to perform. We're doing so out of a heart of love and thankfulness to God for all that He has given to us in obeying our parents. Jesus said in John 14:15, "If you love Me, keep My commandments." By the grace of God, dear children, you can sincerely, cheerfully, and quickly obey your parents. And even though it is impossible for you to do so in your own strength, it is not impossible for you to do so in the strength that God gives to you. Without Christ, you children can do nothing, but you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. Does this command refer only to children while they are very young, or does it mean older children as well? Well, the Greek word used here for children does not stress the age of the child in particular, but rather the fact that they have been begotten and have parents. That seems to be the primary emphasis here.
Certainly, therefore, as long as children are under their parents' roof and authority, they are bound to obey their parents in that which is agreeable to God's word, whether they are toddlers, preteens, teens, or even young adults who are yet single and living under the roof of their home, of their parents' home. Once children have left home, whether they are single or whether they are married, after they have left home, their relationship to their parents changes in various respects. But it never means that children should cease to honor their parents in all ways agreeable to the word of God, nor cease to care for the needs of their parents as they are able to do. Now the Lord doesn't say here, children, obey your parents if you like what they tell you to do. He doesn't say that, does he? He says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. And I want to just focus on that, those three words, in the Lord. There are two ideas that are communicated by the phrase, in the Lord. First is this. Your parents represent the Lord in the home, and therefore your obedience to your parents is obedience to the Lord. And likewise, your disobedience to your parents is disobedience to the Lord. When your parents give you a command or give to you faithful counsel, whether you are 5, 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, they speak on behalf of God. And when you ignore them, when you tune them out, when you show disrespect to them, when you do not obey from a willing heart, but reluctantly merely go through the outward motions of obedience or actually outwardly disobey them, you have committed the same sin, not only against your parents, but against the Lord. You committed that sin against the Lord. See, that's the first thing that is meant by children, obey your parents in the Lord. The second thing that is meant by children, obey your parents in the Lord, is that since your parents represent the Lord in the home, they must not tell you to do anything that is contrary to what the Lord says in His Word. To obey in the Lord means that when parents command their children to disobey God, to disobey His Word, to disobey His commandments, the children must respectfully disagree and rather obey God. Of course, children must be absolutely sure that what a parent has commanded is clearly forbidden, is clearly contrary to the Word of God. And if they're not sure, it is always safer to be right and to obey their parents in such a situation. And even if children must disobey their parents in order to obey the Lord, they must respectfully explain. They must respectfully explain why they cannot do what their parents have commanded them to do in that particular instance. They must show their parents that they want to obey, but they cannot, because God says They cannot do what they've been commanded to do by their parents. They're grieved in their heart, but they cannot obey their parents at that point. You see, dear ones, when that happens, regardless of the age of the child, a child in such an instance is not actually dishonoring parents. One is not dishonoring a parent when one is honoring the Lord. One is actually in such an occasion and circumstance, one is truly, I would submit to you, honoring parents and doing what God has called parents to be. When the child says, no, I can't do this, dear father, dear mother, I must do something else, the child is actually honoring the parent by calling the parent to listen, to walk in accordance with what God has said. That's an honoring of the parent. Calling the parent to be what God calls the parent to be. It would actually be, I submit to you, to dishonor your parents, dear children, to follow them in sinning against your heavenly Father. Children should not break the Sabbath. Children should not follow a false religion. Children should not lie by saying that dad is not at home when he is at home. Children should not marry one who does not embrace the same principles of religion that the Bible teaches and as are summarized in our confession of faith. Such commands on the part of a parent would be against God's law. Children are to obey their parents only in the Lord, because all authority to rule in the home comes from God. It doesn't come from parents. All authority in the home comes from God. The second main point is this question. Why is a child to obey? We read in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 2 through 3, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. A child is to obey because God commands obedience when he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right, honor thy father and mother. God says it is right, not wrong, it is right to obey your parents in the Lord because of his authority, because of God's supreme authority, because he has commanded children to do so in the fifth commandment of the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother. To honor your parents, dear children, means to see them as precious and valuable to you. That which you honor, you consider to be valuable. You consider it to be important if you honor something. And if due to the sinful, disobedient lives that your parents have lived, you cannot honor them for how they have treated you or served God, you may still honor them as having given you life. And by viewing the office of father and mother as nevertheless the office as being precious and valuable to you. Even if you cannot appreciate the way you were treated or mistreated by your parents, you can honor them by honoring the office of father and mother, which God himself has established. And you as well can honor them by determining, by God's grace, to be the Christian father or to be the Christian mother to your children that you did not have. You can honor the office by determining, by God's grace, I'm going to be a Christian father or a Christian mother to my children. Children, God doesn't command you to obey your parents because He wants to make your life miserable. But because obedience, listen, obedience leads to joy and to blessing. In Deuteronomy 6:24, we read, "And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God for our good always." For our good always. "That He might preserve us alive as it is this day." Obedience, you see, is for our good. It's for God's glory, but it's for our good. In fact, I would submit to you that the most miserable people to be around are those that have never learned to obey. They are selfish, and they care only about themselves. That is not the type of people that your parents want you to become. Your Christian parents want you to become, dear children. Praise be to God. It's for your good. As you grow up, you do not stop having to submit to those who are in lawful authority over you. It won't only be your parents, children. There will be others that have lawful authority over you as you get older. It's not just children that are commanded to obey. Wives are to obey their husbands. And adult members of the congregation, whether men or women, are to obey their elders. All Christians are to obey lawful civil magistrates and supremely are to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Dear children, see how long your dad will keep his job if he tells his boss he doesn't want to obey the instructions that his boss has given to him. You see, your dad, in order to maintain his job, must obey his boss. Children, most importantly, if you not learn to obey your parents while you're young, you'll not learn to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll not learn to obey the Lord Jesus Christ. For if you cannot obey your parents, listen closely, if you cannot obey your parents, whom you can see, what makes you think that you'll be able to obey God whom you cannot see? If you cannot obey those who represent God, why do you think you would be able to obey God Himself? You won't. The second reason you children are to obey your parents in the Lord is stated here in our text. It's because God graciously rewards obedience. God graciously rewards obedience. "Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth." Ephesians 6:2-3. I ask you, is this an absolute promise that an obedient child will be wealthy, free of hardship, and live to be 100 years old? No, not necessarily. All such physical promises, material promises that pertain to this life are conditioned upon what will most glorify God and what will most edify the church of Jesus Christ and what will best promote your own spiritual good and profit. However, ordinarily, listen, ordinarily, a child that willingly obeys from the heart grows up avoiding many, many pitfalls that ensnare people and cut their lives short due to their sin and due to their rebellion. It may happen that in a particular circumstance, that the disobedient or rebellious child lives a long life upon earth by God's providence. But in so doing, listen, in so doing, the wicked child only stores up more judgment upon himself and not taking advantage of the time that God has given to him to repent and to turn to Jesus Christ. The blessing of a long life in such a case is actually turned into a curse for that particular child. It may also happen that the obedient and the righteous child lives a short life here upon the earth by God's providence. But in so doing, God takes that which is temporary. He takes that which is temporary away, earthly life. And what does he give? Something less or something more to the child that's trusting in Jesus Christ? He gives infinitely more. He gives him everlasting life in heaven, which can never, ever be taken away. It's in such a case, it's like or as if God promises $100, but instead he gives you $1,000,000. Dear children, never forget that the promise God makes to you, the reward that he promises to you, is due to his grace. It's not due to your merit. It is not due to your own goodness. It is due to his free grace that he even rewards your obedience. When you obey your parents, you should not be saying to yourself, "Look at me, what a good child I am." You should rather be saying, "Look at what a good God I serve, that he has given me the desire and the ability to want to obey him and to obey my parents." All glory should go back to the Lord for our obedience and not to ourselves for the reward of our obedience. Remember, the only thing any of us truly deserve from God, if God were to be absolutely just with us, the only thing we actually deserve from God is hell. But what we receive through the merit of Jesus Christ is heaven, eternal life, the forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, eternal communion and fellowship with God, our Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Also note here before we move on very quickly, note that the promises of earthly blessing are not unique to the Old Covenant, that is to Israel, but are expanded in the New Covenant to all the earth. The reward for believers who lovingly obey the Lord has promise in this life, we're told in the New Testament, and in the life to come. In 1 Timothy 4:8, we read, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come." The reward that God promises and gives to us of his free grace is given to us not only by way of our obedience in this life, he rewards by way of long life, by way of other material blessings, but also for everlasting life. Rewards for obedience since the fall of man do not make faithful obedience a covenant of works. Listen again. Rewards for obedience since the fall of man do not make faithful obedience a covenant of works. The rewards are graciously and freely offered by the Lord. They are not merited by the one who obeys, but have been merited by Christ who freely dispenses these rewards as an incentive to our loving obedience. In conclusion, dear children, let me leave you with several practical ways to apply in faithfulness, in the fruit of faithfulness, what God has commanded you to do here. Five ways to apply the fruit of faithfulness. First of all, children, pray for your parents. Pray for your parents. Your parents need your prayers that God would give them wisdom and knowledge of His will in leading you in love and in godliness. Such prayers of love, I submit to you, find much favor and joy and delight in the ears of God. Number two, your children, cover your parents' weaknesses and faults. Don't expose your parents' weaknesses and faults to your siblings or to those especially outside the family. Cover them. Instead, cover their weaknesses and faults. Seek to bury them from public notice, if at all possible, and pray for them. 1 Peter 4:8 says, "And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins." Thirdly, dear children, if you yourselves would be a good father or a good mother with your own children when you grow up and become parents, learn now to obey your father and your mother as a child while you're under their roof. Those who have never learned to obey when placed in authority later on in their life are sure to abuse it. Those who are best able to lead others have learned to obey God and those whom God has placed in authority over them. You see, the problem with men, women, and children in not obeying those who are in authority over them is always that they have not learned yet to obey the Lord who is over them, who is over those who are placed in authority. Dear children, you are training. You are in training right now. And you're yet very young lives. You are in training to become good parents when you grow up. What kind of parents will you be? Well, a lot depends upon how you are learning to obey and apply that obedience to your parents that God has now given to you. Fourthly, always remember that Jesus is not asking you, dear children, to do anything that He was unwilling to do Himself with His own parents. In Luke 2:51, we read, "And He," that is Jesus, "went down with them," that is with His parents, "and came to Nazareth and was subject unto them." He was submissive unto them. He was obedient unto His parents. His parents were not sinless, despite what the Church of Rome teaches with regard to Mary. His parents were not sinless. Mary needed a Savior, as she herself proclaims. He was the sinless Son of God. And yet, though He was sinless, He honored His sinful parents and obeyed them. and all that they required him to do that was in accordance with the will of God. And lastly, dear children, when you disobey, your parents, and when you disobey, therefore, the Lord, don't run away from the Lord. Don't run away from God when you disobey your parents. Run to the Lord to be restored. Run to your parents to be restored. As is even taught with regard to the parable of the prodigal son. He didn't find what he was looking for when he ran away from his father, when he would be selfish, when he would waste and spend all that he had been given. He didn't find what he was looking for there. He thought that it looked greener to be outside the home. No. There was danger. There was much heartache, much trial in that situation. But when he came back, when he humbled himself, repented, and came back unto his father, his loving father, his father ran out to meet him and threw his arms around him. And they both shed tears upon the cheeks of one another. There was restoration. Don't run away. When you disobey, run to the Lord. Run to your parents. And I would even submit to you, dear children, it is an act of obedience that when you disobey your parents and disobey the Lord, it is an act of obedience in the midst of disobedience that you quickly confess your sin. Seek forgiveness from your parents and from the Lord, and go forth with renewed obedience. You see, we can turn disobedience into obedience if we quickly repent and turn to the Lord. Christ is more willing to forgive your disobedience, children, young people, adults alike. Christ is more willing to forgive your disobedience than you are willing to come and to seek it. He will not turn you away. Cast all your sins, all of your disobedience upon Jesus Christ. That is why Christ came and suffered as no man has ever suffered, that he might carry your disobedience. Those of you who trust alone in Christ alone. And as you spend time with the Lord Jesus in prayer and in studying your Bible, which is God's Word, He, the Lord, will grow you in the fruit of faithfulness and obedience to your parents. And He will grow you especially in the fruit of faithfulness and obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, to your Heavenly Father, who loves you, who sent His only begotten Son to die in the place of even you, dear children, who will put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ alone for your eternal salvation. Amen. Let's stand together in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Thou hast warmed our hearts with Thy mercy and grace. In the midst of these commandments, we have seen our need of Thee. For, O Lord our God, these commandments speak not only to children, but there are nine other commandments, O Lord, as well, which strike our very hearts and show us our need of Jesus Christ. Our need of His obedience, His perfect obedience. Our need of His righteousness. And, O Lord, drive us, cause us to flee unto the Lord Jesus even now. To embrace Him. to embrace, O Lord, his righteousness for us. We pray, our Lord, that thou would also work within us, Lord, that we would find, that we would be granted willing hearts. Work within us both to will and to do thy good pleasure, to obey thy commandments, thy holy commandments, to do it from a sense of gratitude and love and joy for all that thou hast given to us as thy people. Father, thy commandments are for our good. May we, Lord, not treat them, therefore, as that which is unimportant. May we not treat them as an enemy. May we not treat them as an antagonist, as one that we try to get as far away from as possible, but Lord, in the hands of our mediator, O Lord, thy holy law and commandments unto us, lead us and guide us in the paths of righteousness and truth. We pray, Father, that thou would hear our prayers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Stillwater's Revival Books is now located at PuritanDownloads.com. It's your worldwide online Reformation home for the very best in free and discounted classic and contemporary Puritan and Reformed books, MP3s, and videos. For much more information on the Puritans and Reformers, including the best free and discounted classic and contemporary books, MP3s, digital downloads, and videos, please visit Stillwater's Revival Books at PuritanDownloads.com. Stillwater's Revival Books also publishes the Puritan Hard Drive, the most powerful and practical Christian study tool ever produced. All thanks and glory be to the mercy, grace, and love of the Lord Jesus Christ for this remarkable and wonderful new Christian study tool. The Puritan Hard Drive contains over 12,500 of the best Reformation books, MP3s, and videos ever gathered onto one portable Christian study tool. An extraordinary collection of Puritan, Protestant, Calvinistic, Presbyterian, Covenanter, and Reformed Baptist resources. It's fully upgradable and it's small enough to fit in your pocket. The Puritan Hard Drive combines an embedded database containing many millions of records with the most amazing and extraordinary custom Christian search and research software ever created. The Puritan Hard Drive has been produced to assist you in the fascinating and exhilarating spiritual, intellectual, familial, ecclesiastical, and societal adventure that is living the Christian life. It has been specifically designed so that you might more faithfully know, serve, and love the Lord Jesus Christ, as well as to help you to do all you can to bring glory to His great name. If you want to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, then the Puritan Hard Drive is for you. Visit PuritanDownloads.com today for much more information on the Puritan Hard Drive and to take advantage of all the free and discounted Reformation and Puritan books, MP3s, and videos that we offer at Stillwater's Revival Books.